morning. My name is Zhichen Liu from Georgia Tech, and the co-author of this paper are Nancy Nassessian and John Stasko. It has been argued that as a field, as a scientific field, InfoViz needs some kind of a theories or theoretical frameworks. And so far, the current approaches of doing theoretical works have influenced by the traditional cognitive science framework. And today I'm going to question that by introducing the distributed cognition framework. And this framework is pretty well known in the HCI community, but it is less so in the InfoViz community. So today I'm going to give a brief overview of this framework and talk about its implications on InfoViz research. So let me begin with a grand vision. Many researchers have argued that the field of InfoViz can be a science, and for a science of InfoViz, we will need a coherent set of theories, models, and laws that can guide our design and evaluation efforts. And the reality is that we're not quite there yet. As a field, we don't really have a clearly defined underlying theory, and we don't even have a clearly defined theoretical basis for our research endeavor. But if we really if we really think about it, there have been a number of interesting theoretical works that have been developed in the past. If we think of InfoViz consisting of three major aspects, the first one, representation, has received quite a lot of attention in the past. We have Burton's semiology of graphics, and we have Dr. McKinley's APT framework, and we have some existing taxonomies. And also from the field of psychology, we have research on visual attention and pre-attentive processing. Interaction, which is often called the little brother of representation, has received less attention, but still we have some works that tries to build some taxonomies of interaction techniques. An example is the paper presented by my lab colleagues in the InfoViz conference last year. And the field of cognition, which is central and fundamental to our understanding of InfoViz. There has been tons of works done in the field of cognitive psychology and cognitive science, but in the field of InfoViz, this topic has received far less scrutiny. So the question to ask is that, are we on the right track? Will we have a science of interaction if each of these aspects is studied independently and we're trying to fully understand them one by one? I think to answer this question, it's useful first to examine the nature of scientific inquiry and to examine the nature of theory development. In fields like physics and chemistry, which are called normal sciences, research work is often guided by an overarching theoretical framework, which is a collection of assumptions, concepts, claims, and heuristics, which are not testable. A related idea of this concept is Thomas Kuhn's idea of a paradigm. And he argues that within this paradigm, research is like puzzle solving that tries to piece this information together that are consistent with this framework. And from empirical data, we develop theories which can be models, explanations, or interpretations of the data that we collected. And to verify our theoretical hypotheses, we design studies and experiments to collect more data and analyze them. Methodology here is serving as a tool that mediates this process. So here is a framework that many of us are pretty familiar with. It has been quite influential in the field of cognitive science, which models humans as information processors, which interacts with the environment by receiving sensory inputs from the environment and converts them into symbolic representations in their brains. And cognition is the manipulation of these symbolic representations. And finally, the decision of this cognitive processing is carried out as some kind of a motor output. The fundamental assumptions of this framework is that cognitive processing is completely inside the brain, and it is primarily internal symbol manipulation. Adopted into the field of InfoViz, this implies that visual representations are scaffolds or amplifiers of cognition. So they can serve as memory aids, or they can improve search or abstraction efficiency, and they can make information more explicit. But all the visual information in the environment is abstracted as symbols for cognitive processing. And interaction in this case is more about just observing the visual representations and acting on them according to the results of cognitive processing. And hence it can be considered as a series of pragmatic actions, which each step is trying to bring the agent closer to its goal. This framework is questioned and challenged by a number of theoretical approaches that emerged in the past 20 years. So distributed cognition is one of them. And it is a theoretical framework developed by Edmund Hutchins and his colleagues at UC San Diego. It is part of a larger movement within contemporary cognitive science, which has different flavors that construe cognition as either distributed, situated, embodied, or enculturated. And a common theme in these approaches is that it's trying to account for the role of the environment in shaping and understanding, in shaping and participating in human cognition. So there have been quite a number of interesting works done under the DCOG framework. The first one of them is done by Zhang and Norman, where they studied classical problem-solving cases like the Tower of Hanoi. And the Tower of Hanoi involves transferring a set of disks from one configuration to another, following the three rules listed here. And they developed different kinds of representations, which they call isomorphs, that have different distribution of information across internal and external media. So the internal media are the human brains, and external media are the tools in the environment. And so for example, in the orange one, people can just freely move any number of oranges from one plate to another. So there's no physical constraint in the external representation, so people have to memorize all the rules and represent them in the working memory. On the other hand, in the coffee version, cups filled with coffees serve as disks that can be transferred from one place to another. And the physical constraint ensures that, for example, rule number two cannot be broken because you cannot put a smaller cup on top of a larger one without causing any coffee to spill. So in this case, the physical constraint ensures that rule number two is externally represented and people don't have to represent them. People don't have to formulate an explicit representation in their working memory. So their studies find out that people perform better and faster when information is externalized. And hence they argue that external representations can be coupled directly as an information source without requiring an explicit formulation of an internal representation of the information provided in them. So this work and the ideas behind it seems to be pretty familiar to us, and in fact it can be accounted by the external cognition approach that has been presented in the foundational work by Card, McKinley, and Schneiderman. But we think that the external cognition approach didn't go far enough in accounting for the role of environment in shaping and participating in human cognition. And for one particular thing, they didn't give an explicit treatment of the nature of interaction involved in the cognitive processes. To answer this question, Kirsch and Maglio, they studied how people play the game of Tetris. And they found out that people perform a variety of different actions that seems erroneous or do not really make sense in the traditional cognitive science framework. For example, people move the tetrazoids back and forth to determine its position, and they keep rotating the tetrazoids even before they fully emerge from the top of the screen. Their interpretation of the study is that interaction is more than pragmatic actions, and humans have this reflective and creative ability to use and create environmental structures so that they can use external action to save the internal computational resources. And so in this way, cognitive processing is not only in the head, but it can also be realized by physical action in the environment. So as a framework, DCOG tries to push the boundary of the unit of cognitive analysis beyond a human individual. It argues that the true unit of analysis should be a cognitive system comprising humans manipulating tools. And cognition is better understood as an emergent property of the interaction between the human and the environment. And in interaction here is more than just changing the representation to get closer to a goal. It also involves a coordination that can include, for example, epistemic actions that brings close coupling between the internal representations and external representations. So let's revisit the current approaches of doing theoretical works in InfoVis. I would still argue that there are traces of influence from the traditional cognitive science framework, where perception and action are separated from cognition, and hence cognition becomes disembodied and separated from the environment. So perhaps we need a better picture, where we see internal representations and external representations and the coordination between them as processes within a single coherent unit of analysis. And in the past, we have often studied interaction as involved in the internalization process. That is, given some external representations, such as a visualization system, we study how people make sense of them and use them in their analysis tasks. But we have often neglected the other aspect of interaction, which is the externalization or reenactment of people's mental model in the working memory. So a good example of this is that when people, for example, the designers, when we are designing visualization systems, we are externalizing our mental models by constructing and manipulating some visual structures in the environment on the fly in the working memory. And in this process, the visualizations are tightly coupled in the thinking process. So how does this mean for us InfoVis researchers? So I'd like to here to talk about a very interesting work by researchers from UNC Charlotte, where they did study on the shaping of information by visual metaphors. They find out that different mental models of the users can significantly influence their performance in using tree map visualizations. So they argue that the process of understanding a visualization therefore involves the interaction between the external visual metaphors and the internal knowledge representations. And hence they argue that the users may not only need to learn how to read a particular visualization in order to use it, but also they need to truly incorporate this particular metaphors into their own thinking. So I think this study is an excellent example illustrating the argument made by Deacock that interaction is more than internalizing external representations and acting on them. It is also involving externalizing mental models that helps reducing internal cognitive load. And in some sense, InfoVis design can be seen to facilitate this process by providing some readily available visualizations which people can directly interact with, and hence externalizing mental models. But we need to realize that designers' mental models may not be the same as users, and hence designers' externalizing actions may not be identical to the users. So for one thing, could some of the current InfoVis systems inhibit users from developing coordination strategies when they're performing a task? If so, this can have implications on how we design an InfoVis systems. We should try to support coordination and easy cognitive coupling from the user side. That means we should allow users to make customizations or appropriations of the existing visualization systems, or even a step further, we should allow them to create visualizations by externalizing their mental models directly. So I think the system Tableau is a very good example in this case, but definitely we can do much better than that. And coming back to theories, with Deacock as a theoretical framework, we can develop theories about cognition that emerges as the interaction between human and the environment. And so in advocating cognition as a research agenda, we should perhaps these are the research questions we should be asking. So for example, what are the nature and the mechanisms of coordination and the cognitive coupling? How do people develop interaction strategies during sense-making and analytical reasoning? How are external representations created, and how do they evolve? And finally, how does interaction with visual structures enable turning information into meaningful understanding? So now we have a framework, and we're trying to develop theories with these research questions in mind. So where does the data come from? I think to answer this question, it can have implications on how we perform evaluation. So the traditional goal of doing evaluation is either to validate a system or a technique, or to compare multiple systems and techniques to find out which one is better. But with Deacock as an overarching theoretical framework, we can develop theories about cognition from empirical data collected during evaluation. So in the past, we have relied a lot on methodologies from cognitive psychology, where we do lab-based controlled experiments to study the effects of info-based systems in helping a task. And more recently, with the advocation of researchers from the University of Maryland, we have also been adopting methodologies from anthropology, that is the ethnographic studies where we do naturalistic, qualitative observations and interviews and try to study how info-based can be helpful in a task. But most of these ethnographic studies are mainly descriptive. And I think with DCOG as an overarching framework, we can definitely do some interpretations on these ethnographic data. And often the data collected from ethnographic studies are often under-constrained in developing a theory. And hence, the interpretations can provide some clues as how to design experiments to find out the under-constrained conditions. And in turn, the results from the experiments can feed back into our interpretation of the data on the cognitive on cognition. So in conclusion, I give a brief overview of the distributed cognition framework, where I made a distinction between internal and external representation, and argues that interaction is a coordination between the internal and external representations. And cognition is better understood as an emergent property of the interaction. And for implications on info-based research, for design, we should support people developing coordinative strategies. And for theories, we were trying to advocate to make cognition a research agenda. And for evaluation, the DCOG framework can be helpful in interpreting the empirical data to theorize about cognition. So thank you for your attention.
I was wondering what studies are you referring from? Were you referring from University of Maryland?
It's the MILK approach, which I believe is the multidimensional longitudinal institute studies.
Oh yes,
yes.
That's done by Catherine Plesan and
yeah.
Ben Schneiderman. Yes. Okay. Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Caroline Simkevich from UNC Charlotte. Thanks for the shout-out, by the way. I'm wondering, in this research agenda that you're talking about, do you have any examples of experiments you're looking to in order to explore this kind of externalization you talk about?
Yes. So one thing I think is very useful to study how people actually create visualizations. So that can be done, for example, by studying how people, how designers, for example, in research labs, create visualizations and how, for example, people can use systems like Tableau. And another way I think is that it has been done like 10 years ago study by Dana Ballard, I think. He's studying the use of eye movements and fixation as deictic strategies in interactive tasks. And he studies the coordination between the eyes and the hands and how this affects the overall performance.
I have if no one else has a question, I have a comment. First of all, as you might expect, given how we wrote about external cognition, I'm very sympathetic with your point of view. But I want to, this may take a moment. We as a discipline are taking a huge advantage of the human perception. And I think that, you know, we can look to Chi and, you know, ethnomethodology and whatnot. But I think we ought to also look to J.J. Gibson in particular.
Yes.
And human perception. And what he teaches us is that when we interact with the environment, we recognize affordances in the environment, you know, way the environment can be manipulated. Now, we've evolved to do that. I mean, our brain just does that and does it very effectively. But it's also, you know, adapted by task and learning. And so when you take a tool like Tableau or something like that and you design interactive views, what you really are doing for your users is creating a mini environment that they that has affordances to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say Tableau isn't very good at that, but if we think in terms of that, then I think that will add to your framework in terms of what people are, here are trying to do. It's not just that we're trying to create a graphical representation of the data, but we're actually trying to create a view that has the ability to be manipulated. So the interaction comes mm-hmm. into that.
Yeah.
So that was my comment.
Yeah, I think so. Gibson's ecological approach to visual perception is definitely relevant in our case, and I would argue perhaps it can be integrated into the decoupling.
I think so. I think it would be very promising.